Very good morning and welcome to the show. My co-host this morning is George Stothard. Samineh Shaheem is on holiday. She'll be back with us next Sunday in the chair. Today we talk the talk, speak the speak, as we explore the diversity of language. Good morning to you, Mr. George.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Ça va?
That's a good start, isn't it?
Bon,
ça va
bon.
Bien? Yeah.
Très bien, merci. Et toi?
Oui.
Awful. I feel absolutely cheated, by the way, by the British government that we leave our country. We can't even hold a 15-second bit of French conversation.
I know. And that's just French to start
it's
with.
It's appalling.
Yeah. What, do you speak any other languages other than English?
I am a very frustrated mono-language. Monolingual?
Monolinguist? Monosyllabic?
Monosyllabic.
you only work in singular.
I see. I'm going to leave the studio now. No, I speak, because I went to university in Wales, so I speak a little bit of Welsh.
A little bit of Welsh. Goodness, yeah. But you're not Welsh.
No, I'm
you're
not.
Scottish, aren't you?
Half Scottish.
Yeah.
And obviously half English. But yeah, I spent 3 years in Wales and had a fantastic time. And I have to say, I didn't even know that the Welsh had a language. And that just tells you how appalling our awareness is, I think, as English people.
Mm.
And obviously, not everybody, but certainly for me and from where I came from, I didn't know the Welsh had a language. And I didn't know it was alive. And I didn't know that when you go into Wales, the signposts are in Welsh. And rather than stop, it says Araf on the street floor. It's just fantastic. Yeah. It's a beautiful country.
So you really felt like you were going to a different country when you went over the border from England to
Wales. I really
Wales.
Did. And it's not just the language, actually. You know, for that. I mean, I guess this is the whole thing about language. The Welsh do have a very distinct culture. Their food, I mean, Barabrith, any Welsh listeners will know what I'm talking about. Barabrith is a fantastic bit of cake. And their language is living, it's growing, and a lot of people may think that Welsh is, well, if they're aware of it at all, they might think it's a dying language, and it's quite the opposite. You know, the government's invested so much time and money forcing schools to teach Welsh medium, not just in schools but also universities. So yeah, it's a well-kept secret, the Welsh language.
Ah, well, there you go. You're bringing it out today to our UAE listeners and to our Welsh listeners. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Pop your name on the text as well. In fact, all of you, wherever you're from, whatever your native tongue, why not text in the show with your favourite word in whichever language you wish? Just let us know what the language is, just in case we're not sure. You never know.
Almost certainly. I just remembered one of my favourite English words. Munchkin.
Munchkin.
Love
that. That's a good one.
I actually used it yesterday when referring to my two little cats. I said, look at those little munchkins.
And is this directly from The Wizard of Oz that you've got the word munchkin?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I have a theatrical background. It's such a sweet little word. I love it. And it does describe the behaviour of my little munchkin cats. Oh my
Claptrap. God. That's one of my favourite words.
Claptrap?
Yeah. Claptrap. I'm sure we'll talk lots of that today.
I have no doubt at all. Resonance.
Oh, that's a good one. Resonance. I like that because it resonates when you say the word.
And do you know what the longest English word is?
Ooh. Is that an English word?
English word, I'll tell you. Because you look a bit...
No, well, I was thinking of the Welsh word, but no, the English word.
Do you have any idea what the longest English word is? I'm going to guess. I'm not sure if this is right,
okay.
But I think it's... anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Really? And how many letters is that?
It is.
Count it up quickly.
Okay.
Whilst you're doing that, yes, we're asking you this morning to text in your favourite word and let us know where it's from. If it's not in English, just because we're English, I know it gets annoying, but you know, at the end of the day, most of us speak English. So do let us know if it's coming from your mother tongue. We'd love to hear from you and your favourite word. Go on then, George. How many letters?
It's 28 letters, but I just got to tell you, this fabulous SMS coming from Omar. He calls his son... Khirbusha, which is the equivalent of scribbledee in Emirati, apparently.
That's wonderful, Omar. Thank you
Love
for
it.
That. Yes, what a great word. Khirbusha. Yes, and scribbledee. I like both of those words.
And someone else says their favourite word is malicious.
Malicious. Mm.
What a creepy start to the day.
Malicious, delicious. It's all those sounds that your tongue makes when you are pronouncing your words.
Yeah,
interesting, isn't it? Why do we like certain words? Why do we enjoy it? And hopefully we do enjoy talking and you know, sort of, how eloquent are we when we speak? How much do we pay attention to our grammar, being grammatically correct? This is something close to your heart, I know.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Suzanne, I'm in the process of setting up my own writing business. So writing, I mean, I'm for me, it's easy, luckily. I'm bad at lots of things, but I've always been good at writing. And I find it yeah, marvellously easy. And I know that a lot of people don't. And I get frustrated when I see bad writing. And you know, I've spent a long time in business looking at other people's CVs. And let me tell you, given that most... Well, let's see, a lot. We have a reputation where we come from of only speaking one language.
Yeah.
We don't do it particularly well.
Yes.
And, you know, we don't. And I'm not talking about spoken word here. I'm talking about the written word. Grammar is, you know, and I've seen a lot of CVs from PR people who should be able to write really well. And I've spent the last 12 years being pretty appalled. You know, typos. I don't know whether people think that if they're sending a CV to a recruitment consultant, that therefore they don't need to bother. But I think most recruiters out there will probably recognize what I'm talking about. There just doesn't seem to be, you know, any effort or any attention paid to grammar and to spelling in the way people write.
I think we've got very lazy with our grammar. And why is that? Because it's not being highlighted, maybe because the emphasis hasn't been placed on grammar and the way that we speak and the way that we communicate. So people aren't paying attention to it. You know, really, how much difference does it make? Certainly there, I think, with a CV, first impressions with a potential employer, there you go. When you first meet somebody, the way you talk to them, how you greet them, yes, of course. But I think with the age of technology and the way things are going, and when we've got text speak and all of this going on, there's so much slang. And is slang a bad thing? I don't know.
I don't know either. You know, there is, people talk about the dumbing down of all sorts of things. And I guess language, particularly the English language, which is a global language, it's heavily influenced by America, by American media. They pronounce things differently, they spell things differently, they have different words. I'm just trying to think of some great American words that we don't use. You know, sidewalk, diaper, all those kind of things that we don't use. And so our language is constantly being changed. And you know, I'm becoming more aware of since I moved to this country that there are certain English words that I've stopped using, and I'm using American equivalents now. So I've stopped saying, "Can I have the bill, please?" I ask for the check. Just because there's a lot of waiters do know what a bill is, but some don't, and it's just easier if I say check.
Do you go to the movies or do you go to the cinema?
No, well, actually, do you know what? In the UK, I went to the pictures.
That's because you were born in the 1950s of England.
I'm just a bit weird.
Well, that was the traditional. That was what was said. We used to call it the pictures, not so much now, but yes, sure. That was certainly a term for going to the cinema.
Yeah. For me, it's I use both, actually, movies and cinema. Probably still cinema more so. Yeah. But I'm not in the realms of sidewalk yet.
Well, we're going to be looking at those Americanisms that have happened to the English language, and also how we've adopted certain words from each other's language. And every 14 days, a language dies by 20... Yes, it's looking like more than half of 7,000 languages spoken on the earth, and many of them not yet recorded, may disappear, taking with them a wealth of knowledge about history, culture, the natural environment, and the human brain. This is coming from the National Geographic's Enduring Voices Project, striving to preserve endangered languages by identifying language hotspots, the places on our planet with the most unique, poorly understood, or threatened indigenous languages, and documenting the languages and cultures within them, what we learn from the language we speak. With your favourite word from whichever language you wish, just let us know what the language is. We've got one here, Luda, which is Spanish. I don't know what it means, but the person sent in saying Luda. Also here from Naman, thank you for this, Nakupenda. Nakupenda meaning I love you in Swahili.